Holistic Science Overview. Only since Descartes and Newton has materialism gained acceptance as an accurate model of reality. Our modern world assumes that we live in an objective universe that can be explored by objective observation, that only the physically observable universe is real, that a whole can be known by a study of its parts, that one cause produces one effect, and that the mind and body are totally independent of one another. We have been living with the consequences of these assumptions ever since. The idea that the world is made up of objects that are independent of human consciousness conflicts with both the theories of quantum mechanics and with experimental fact, as quoted by Robert Svoboda in Ayurveda, Life, Health, and Longevity. Henry Bortoff succeeds in showing that Goethe's way of doing science was not a poet's folly, but rather a genuine alternative to dominant scientific paradigm. He shows that a different, gentler empiricism is possible than that demanded by the dualizing mind of modern technological science, and demonstrates that Goethe's participatory phenomenology of a new way of seeing, far from being a historical curiosity, actually proposes a workable solution to the dilemmas of contemporary postmodern science, the review of wholeness of nature. This work, this thesis, is an application of the principles taught to me over the last year at Schumacher College. The course outline and descriptions of my teachers can be found on their website, schumachercollege.org. Finding a language for our perceptions, intuitions, and realizations, and communicating with others with the intention of finding shared meanings, contribute to the development of a new culture, from the book Living Your Passion. For us to find meaning in our world, we need the tools and language for greater understanding. A change in mindset is needed that sees us as connected to nature. The last 50 plus years, we have evolved into a new age of science called post-Newtonian physics. The ripple of this transition we are now emerging within all aspects of is now emerging within all aspects of Western civilization. Within the biological sciences, we have ecology, Gaian studies, and Goethean science, as well as a slew of other emerging disciplines that have come forth to help our study of life come back into relevance. For biology to shift from its mechanistic reductionist approach, its edges need to be broadened to include the tenets of holistic science. As one of our teachers, Craig Holdridge, writes, "The realization that the phenomena we confront are always richer than the abstractions we use to explain them is central to the Goethean approach. This shift is fundamental to our core. We need to be released from seeing the universe as a clock, our bodies as machines, our minds as a computer, and the earth as dead." One of our main teachers, Brian Goodwin, spent several lectures opening us up to the new dimensions of health illness. The heart lives in an unpredictable situation, so it stays sensitive, does not strongly lock into rhythm of its own. "Too much order in the heart is a sign of danger," said Brian Goodwin. He made a case that perhaps entropy, in addition to being defined as disorder, could also be defined as dynamic diversity. He feels that Western science tries to isolate itself from external stimuli and is unreal. Western science is built on special case assumptions and is not engaging the dynamicness of life. He entreated us to go beyond the search for the meaning of life to find a life of meaning. He commented that the holistic healing system coming will be embedded in community and will focus on treating the whole person, not just the disease. The definition of the placebo effect by Western medicine shows its limitations, and Western medicine uses the placebo effect unconsciously the whole time in its therapeutic relationships. He recommended we read works by Daniel Mormon and Simon Mills on the topics. Our lecturer, Rupert Sheldrake, famous in the science for supporting the presence of morphic fields, writes in his book, A New Science of Life, that, in effect, this holistic philosophy proposes a change from the paradigm of the machine to the paradigm of the organism in the biological and in the physical sciences. As the biological sciences transform, so too the ripple will come through the contemporary Western medicine. As I discussed above, though there are attempts to integrate contemporary Western medicine into something more holistic, we need to see that the planetary medicine coming is new unto itself. Though made from the old and the current, it represents a new way, a metamorphosis to meet the evolving needs of Gaia and humanity. Let us work diligently to bring forth the tools of holistic science, for they are drastically needed in our transforming culture. The seeds of learning represented at Schumacher had largely already been planted in me. What was novel in this past year was that the growth of these seeds into the ecosystem that needs care and attention, an ecosystem linked into the larger and smaller ecosystems of Gaia. Holistic science continues to grow and has the language, concepts, and tools to provide a framework for holistic herbal medicine. Holistic science is the water in the ocean of the planetary healing system emerging. Stephen Harding encouraged us as holistic scientists to embrace our shadow and work into improving our weak side within the well-known Jungian matrix, thinking, feeling, intuition, and sensing. Bringing this awareness into medicine will be a significant paradigm shift. It is already happening significantly. As Stephen shared, our Western worldview is unbalanced. There have been 400 years of this dominating worldview. The anima mundi, soul of the earth, has expressed itself in every culture of the world. This was deliberately suppressed in the 1600s to keep the soul in the church. Western cultures seized the earth as a dead machine focusing on quantification, abstraction, manipulation, and separation. Western science shows us a lot of thinking and sensing, but this is only a subset of the whole. As Westerners, we need to open our beliefs to truly see and understand. We must learn to feel and intuit. Many of the healing modalities present later embrace this holistic way. Each falls short in some way. We look forward to the future, hoping to find ways to better health. Holistic medicine offers preventative medicine, and advocates personal responsibility within a community context. Holistic science is coming into Western culture rapidly to explain the context of the technologies and the teachings of Einstein and company becoming integrated into the educational system. The reflection of this into the modern culture's philosophies is beginning to make itself known. This can be seen in medicine through the integrative clinics and the prevalence of alternative healing modalities, including traditional Chinese medicine, massage therapies, and naturopathic doctors. Without holistic science, holistic medicine would not have a context from which to express itself. Our relationship with plants. An early human suffering some malady, perhaps upon this pool, and drinks and notices that he or she feels better. She or he remembers this spot and situation with his or her mind and shares it with others. This is the contemporary Western story of how herbal medicine came into being, an accident almost. The story continues to claim that we have developed that mind to create technological solutions to our problems. This came into dominance at the end of World War II with the underlying slogan, Better Living Through Chemistry. In modern life, we suffer from a failure of imagination. This is one of the shortcomings of Western thinking, this objectivity, that we humans are somehow separate from the nature around us and in us. All things brought to us as information, data, and facts need to be interpreted and considered anew by our deepest forces, says Rudolf Steiner. There are other ways to explain how plant medicines came into human hands. how tribal people of Peru discovered that two unrelated plants, separately inert but together create a potent entheogenic medicine, has stumped scientists as long as they have been aware of it. But if you go down and ask the makers of the medicine, the ayahuasqueros, how they came to know it, they laugh at such a naive question and quietly say, "The plants told us." Our culture has become rigid, narrow-minded, protective of its self-interest, obsessed with mechanistic thinking, and reliant on pharmaceuticals and technology, says Healthy Medicine book. The Western story of trial and error, aided by an ever-evolving brain, is not wrong. It is just not complete. Intuitions, dreams, hunches, channels, shamanic journeys are central to our evolution and will continue to embrace and contribute to our understanding of the world. Emerging planetary herbology. The problem of accepting Chinese medicine into the West does not lie entirely with the medical and scientific establishment. Almost none of the traditional Chinese medical texts are available in English, and those that are available make little or no attempt to present the cultural medicinal tradition in toto. Even translated, works pose with the problem of a completely unfamiliar approach to disease and a foreign terminology. Only someone familiar with Chinese language, naturalist, and Taoist philosophy would be able to comprehend the Chinese medical tradition, says the author Kapuchak in The Medicine That Has No Weaver. Kapuchak presents a challenge central to this work, this thesis, of looking ahead into our emerging world consciousness. He asks how we can carry the cultural context of the plants and techniques along with the physical. The white Sangoma, Neil Camel, posed the same question to me when I interviewed him inside his healing hut in Botswana. Symbols are not intrinsic in their meaning, he said. Ritual is built upon by meanings. We are forming a world ritual slowly. He pointed around the dimly lit hut. For someone initiated in the African ways, these images and implements are a script telling us meanings and rituals. To those uninitiated, you miss so much. You see merely the surface. The nature of stories is that they change and grow and die and are reborn. Read Henry Bortoff for more on this topic. What we need to discern are the stories with meanings, the living stories adapted to modern civilization and passed on to the future. By way of example, let us have a look at mugwort, Artemisia. I have learned so many stories about this plant and its relatives, amazing stories. Even though I know this plant well, I still learn new things all the time. Recently, I was reminded by a Chinese medical doctor that it is the genus used in the moxa sticks, Artemisia moxa. She also said that the Chinese let it cure for 2 years before using it. This I did not know, and I added that to my list of questions I have for my trip to China in the future. I will find out why and discern if it is based on something culturally biased or if there are universal qualities that support this amount of time for curing. This new knowledge has affected my relationship with Artemisia and causes me to ponder the drying of herbs further. Knowledge is not an object but a wave of change. This plant wears many hats and has many medicinal and practical as well as sacramental uses. Artemisia's magico use efficacy came through to me some years ago when I tried a famous drink made from one of the species, Artemisia absinthium. That night I had the most vivid dreams I can recall. The next night I slept over at another house and came in very late. The house smelled as though someone had burned the dinner. I again that night had lucid dreams and was concerned that I may have come stuck over the edge. The next morning, when I asked about the burned smell from the night before, the owner of the house said he had burned a big bundle of mugwort, Artemisia vulgare, before he had gone to bed. Artemisia had taken me on another journey and deeply instilled within me respect for its power. If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear as to man as it is, infinite, for man has closed himself up till he sees all things through narrow chinks in his cave. By William Blank, The Marriage of Heaven and Earth, or Heaven and Hell, excuse me. One of the keys to good health in this life is getting to know the living plants themselves and learning their stories. I, like Jung, Steiner, and many others, believe that there is a collective unconsciousness, also known as the Akashic Records. This exists in the ether and contains our collective memory. The journey in knowing a plant involves shared experiences in this way of connecting through sensorial perception and imagination. This is called phenomenology. Bortoft encourages us to dwell in the phenomenon. The primary organ of perception for this is the heart. You can read Stephen Buhner's Secret Teachings of the Plants for details around this, followed by The Brain and More. This going inside to learn about the outside creates a different world. I have come to realize that I feel we modern people have become engulfed in a conceptual world. We need to develop ourselves and lower our reliance on large industries to supply our needs. I encourage us more and more to put the medical industry, economics, and other institutions on the periphery of life, not at its current central position. Read Ivan Illich, his books Medical Nemesis and Deschooling Society, for deep reflections on these topics. After all, we are our best healers most of the time. What do I mean? Well, one of my teachers, Seven Song, says that 70% of the time, your body will return to health even if you ignore your symptoms. I figure if you make the efforts during illness to stay hydrated, get extra rest, monitor your urination and bowel movements, eat minimally, de-stress, and pay attention to what you should not be doing, your return to health would be in the 90s percentile. Add with that basic herbal knowledge of weeds and plants of the garden, and only rarely would anyone need to consult a doctor or take a medicine.